What an amazing God we serve. He's so good to us. So we start in a new Torah portion again tonight. And the Torah portion is Ekev. And it's dealing with because. It has several meanings. We'll get into those meanings as we go along. But the main thing is because. So the effects of Ekev is something that we do. And because we do it, then God does something. So it's closely linked to the if and then statements that we see throughout the text. And so I'm going to begin reading with Devarim chapter 7. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's the Declaration of Independence of the United States of America. That was the declaration that was said. Now, just last week, our vice president quoted this, but she quoted it and left out our Creator. Because everybody's trying to distance themselves from the Creator. Now, I'll read it again without putting the Creator in there like she did. She said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's exactly how she... So I went back and made sure that I was correct, because it was all over the internet and everything, that quote, that statement was left out. And I tell you, it's left out on purpose, because nobody wants to be under a Creator. And so I wanted to just read that to you. And now I want to go to the next part here and read something else to you. It says, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, and provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America. If we wouldn't have a Constitution, we wouldn't be able to run. And so we're over 200 years running because we have a Constitution. There's some laws that we have. And in that Constitution, we see that there was a section called the Bill of Rights. And in that Bill of Rights, one of the things that we see in the Bill of Rights is the First Amendment. In the United States Bill of Rights, the First Amendment, Congress shall make no laws respecting or establishing of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridge the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the rights of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievance. Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia being necessary to secure security of a free state, the rights of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And I can go on and on. So sometimes we live in this country, but we don't even, if you was asked to give any statement to the Constitution, you couldn't give any, because we don't even teach it in our public schools anymore. There's no test that you take on the Constitution coming out of even elementary school or junior high or high school. There's no test. And so we wonder why our country, because we're not training people up on what the Constitution, then so you start making up stuff as you go. Well, let me just, the reason I opened with this is because God has a Constitution. He has a set of regulations and laws. There's no possible way we can say that we have an almighty Elohim if he wouldn't have already set in place the greatest constitution can ever be given. And people said, well, this constitution is just strange. No joke. It wasn't made by man. It was made by God. God made. Now, understand that our constitution, it was based upon making sure that the Word of God was his principal foundation. But God's constitution, he's the principal foundation. There is nothing higher than him. So he's the principal foundation. But for some reason, we think we can live a life of sin, then get reinstated by nothing we did, but all what he did. He reinstates us by his only begotten Son, who then reinstates us, renews the covenant that we broke free from our idolatrous, adultery worship, and we don't have to abide by his constitution. It makes no sense. And I feel like what has happened to the church over years, not just in what happened in a day or a week or over years, we've continually drifted away from the constitution, just like we're doing in the United States of America right now. And the reason we have all the chaos that's going on in our government and this woke generation that can't even determine whether they're male or female or what bathroom to go in. And now there's cases being heard by the courts that's saying that parents have no rights to tell their children what to do once they go to school. The school reserves 100% rights to be able to coach their children along, to have sex changes, take hormones, replacements, all these things with no say to the parents. They don't even have to notify you. Many states are going that route right now. Many states. So you ought to check. If you got kids in school, check, see what your state's doing. It's your responsibility. It's your children. But the state is saying the parents have no rights to be involved in this education. So we, instead of us teaching the Constitution of the United States, we're teaching this woke theory in schools today. That when a child's young, they can't figure out what they really are. You got to give them something. So we can coach them along, and we can tell them, you know, used to be years ago, a girl would be called a tomboy. And that was just something that a phase they went through, but nobody went along with that. They mom and dad quickly told them, no, you do girl things because you're a girl, and boys do the same thing. But now, the way it's going is that you don't have a right to be involved in that part. The school's going to be involved in that. And so what we see, because of the teachers' union being so strong and so powerful, they have the money and the lobbyists to be able to take authority and buy judges. They're getting court cases that are going in their favor right now as we sit here against everything that God states in the scripture. Because God states this, as a matter of fact, early on in his constitution. It said, and God made them, male and female, he made them. There was no confusion there. He made both of them, male and female. And now there's arguments that's being heard before Congress whether or not a man can give birth to a child. No, we shouldn't say a pregnant woman. We should say pregnant people. Because we're excluding other people that can be pregnant. Last I seen, women's the only one that can be pregnant. Ain't no man being pregnant. But it's an infringement. It's a disregard for God. When you draw the line, why is it going that way? A completely total disregard for God. That's why the Second Amendment's being sought, where you're disarmed. All this, that's why we're leaving our Creator out of the one who endows us with unalienable rights. We leave that out. And these are not low-standing people. These are high-standing people in the government that when your vice president states that on national television, it goes all around the world. Other countries look at us and say, oh, they lost their mind. Well, the question is, has the church lost its mind? If we think that God, who reinstates people who lived a life of sin. We've all sinned and come short of His glory. Because remember, it all boils down to His glory. That's the bar that's been set, God's glory. God, the bar set on His glory, His esteem, the honor we give Him. The kabod or the doxa. If you want to do it in Greek or Hebrew, it makes no difference. It's His bar that's been set, and we got to live up to that. That's the standard that's been set. And it's how we have a disregard for it. And we don't think that God, after He reinstates us, that He's not going to hand us down a set of rules and instructions on how we have to live our life, conduct our lives, in order to make sure that we're staying in the covenant. If you think that doesn't have to happen, then you're asleep. You're not paying attention, because you have to have some type of rule for anything to be successful. I don't care what it is. If you can start something today and say, I'm going to start this. If you have no rules and regulations to whatever you're starting, you have no idea how you're going to run it. Somebody say, well, how are you going to run? I don't know. When you're going to start? I don't know. So you have to set some guidelines down. You're going to have a start date. You're going to have an open day, a closed date. You're going to have whatever you're going to be serving. What are you serving? I don't know. See how that sounds? When you got to have some kind of regulation. Well, we know that if we come and we give our lives to God through His Son, Yeshua, we don't just get to come in and we have no regulations. So we know that we have a model. We have an example that was handed down to us. He said, let this be for an example for you. So whether you want to call it Old Testament or New Testament church, it makes no difference. It's the same thing to God. He's dealing with people. It's God and people. How does people have a relationship back to God? Because Adam, he relinquished that relationship that he had. Now we had to have a second Adam. When the second Adam come, now that we have that, how do we have a relationship to God? Remember, relationship is God's doing something and you're doing something. It's a give and take. And it's very important. This is how Ekev comes in, because it's dealing with, he gives His rules and regulations, and because you do them, this is what happens. And because you don't, this is what happens. So there is, you know, we all want to talk about the outstretched arm of God to us. He's extending the olive branch to us, the outstretched arm. But we also have to talk about the arm of God that stretches out and you fall into God's right hand. When you fall into it, that represents judgment. Falling into His hand is not a good thing. So we do have the right hand of God extended to us, but it's extended not only in one way. Those who obey, it's extended in His favor. And we experience that favor by the grace that's been extended to us to be reinstated into the covenant promises of Abraham. There's no different covenant. Remember, he said in Jeremiah 31:31, he said, I'm going to make a renewed covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Yehuda. That's who he said the covenant's with. Now, unless we get grafted into those two houses, it don't even count for us. These are not my statements. These are his statements that come forth by the prophet Jeremiah. This is not something we get to state for ourselves. We don't get to make up our rules as we go. Like Congress wants to do a lot of times, make up rules as they go, whatever they're feeling for the day, and therefore just misrepresenting the Constitution. We have a Constitution in the United States. And it's the only thing that's kept us this far. Outside that Constitution, and the more the Constitution gets pushed to the side, the worse our country's going to be. It's not going to only be bad here, it's going to be bad all around the world. And they're going to see us as weak because we have no standard. What does the Constitution do? It gives you a standard. Now, we're going to get along in this Torah portion. It's going to talk about some of the things we have to understand. As believers, there's certain standards. It's going to get to a word called the mezuzah. The mezuzah is something that we're stating as a fact that this house is under this constitution. This house is under this constitution. And so he's telling us that these are things that we should consider. If you're in that house, which we all want to be, when the death angel is coming, right? We want to be in his house. You want to be in a place of safety when a storm's coming. You don't want to be exposed to the elements. So you want to be in the protection, but when we get in that protection, we don't want the rules of the house. And the cab's going to deal with this, and it's going to deal with the Word. It's going to deal with what we should do with the Word, how we should love the Word, how we should be lovers of truth and not despising the truth. Once you get the truth, you have to love truth. If you love truth, you're going to be well on your way to a solid relationship with God. Because we don't get to pick and choose how that relationship's going to be. He tells us how it's going to be. We don't get to come along and say, well, the way I feel in my heart, we could do this. Well, can't go by your heart. What does the heart represent in a Hebraic sense? What does it represent? It's the mind. And what does he say in the Renewed Writings? You got to let this mind be in you, which was also in Messiah Yeshua. Let this mind be in you, because his mind was for God. What was the difference between Caleb and Yehoshua? The reason why out of 600,000 people, they were the only ones allowed in. What was different about them? Because they completely served Jehovah. They gave their whole heart to him. They wasn't just halfway in this thing. They made a promise and a dedication, and they meant what they said. And we have to do the same, or we won't be successful. We've been endowed with unalienable rights, but it's been from our Creator. And we can never forget that. And so this country was founded upon those principles. And when you start taking those principles out publicly, verbally, without coming back and saying you made a mistake and you just misquoted it. Look, if you're going to get up and quote something as the Vice President of the United States, you got to get it right. It don't take long to look down and look at your notes and figure it out. I read it to you just now, and I hadn't read that in a long time. But I said, I want to go back and look at this, because we do have a constitution in the United States of America, and it's what keeps America kind of held together somewhat. The only reason we got all the distractions that we're having in the world today is because when you break away from the constitution, that's the foundation that's helped you. When you break away from God's word, and you know, I hear a lot of people talk about the word of God's important, the word of God's important. We got to get back to the word. We got to get back to the word. But that's the only words. They go no further than that. They're trying to get you to get back to the word, but they're not teaching you how you get back to the word and how you go back and look at the word of God. They say a lot of words, but they don't have a lot to do. We got to be doing what the word says. So back in Devarim chapter 7, I'm going to start with verse 1. We had verse 1 already, but it leads me to where we start in verse 12. I'm just going to read through that. And when Yehovah your Elohim brings you into the land which you go to possess, he shall also clear away many nations from before you. Who's going to be doing the clearing away? There's a difference between when God fights and you fight. Big difference. Because when he fights, he don't lose. And every time we look at when God fights, they don't lose people. Only when people get involved and they start going opposite of what God says, people start falling away. He said, I'm going to clear away many nations from before you. The Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Seven nations greater and mightier than you. I just want you to know they're greater and mightier than you, but don't make a difference. They are bigger, badder, stronger. They got better armies than you got, but Jehovah is going to move them out the way. So he's telling them, you got to trust my word. You got to trust what I'm saying. Listen, there's stuff going on in everybody's life that's bigger than you. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than you can handle. Especially when sickness attacks a person's body. It's bigger than you. You're dependent on something. He's telling you, whatever's bigger than you, you got to trust me. Put your faith in me. Just like when Dawid went up against Goliath. That was a match he could not fix on his own. It was much bigger. The whole army of Israel was there trembling and shaking. And there was Shaul. He didn't have no answer for it. He was the king of Israel. He had the entire army of Israel at his fingertips, and he couldn't do nothing about it. Here come a boy who brought provisions for his brothers and said, why y'all letting this guy stand up against Jehovah? Why y'all letting him talk this away? I'll tell you, I'll go out and fight him right now. And they thought, man, this little boy needs to go home. But they didn't realize the encounters he had been having, the times that he was by himself. And God would come and speak to him. The times that a praise would come up in him, and he'd put pen to paper, and he'd write down that psalm. They had no idea that this was happening in his life. And they say he would lay in the field and look up at the stars. He was hungry for God. He wanted more God, but he wasn't seeing it around how Israel was living. He wasn't seeing it. And when the enemy came out and cursed God and said, "We're going to defeat God. We defy the armies of Israel," it got under his skin a little bit. He said, "We're not going to have this." And so he went out knowing that pound for pound he already lost. He knew that. But he didn't go in his power. He didn't go in his own accord. He went in the power of Jehovah. And Jehovah says, "There ain't nobody can beat you when you do that." So we got to realize this relationship that we have. When you're in a relationship with God, you're not on your own no more. It's not just you fighting this battle. It's not you, just you with the sickness. It's not just you with the problems. You got somebody greater than all the problems you got in your life. He's with you. And so sometimes our attitude and our demeanor, we act like we're fighting this by ourselves. You're not fighting this alone. You got somebody on your side who's fighting for you. And you have to grab hold of that. That has to be something that you cherish and you love because of a right relationship. And so when you look at this, now I know we didn't read number 7 because we run out of time, but I'm going to read it tonight. "And when Jehovah Elohim has given them over to you, you shall strike them and put them under the ban." When you strike them and put them under the ban, when something's under the ban, you can't fool with it. It's under the ban. Completely, not some of it. You put them under the ban completely. The time you're going to have trouble is the moment you start compromising. When you say a little won't hurt, you're in for pain. You're in for pain because of everything you claim that it won't do is exactly what it's going to do. It's going to hurt, and it's going to hurt bad. "Make no covenant with them and show them no favor." We're not in partnership with the enemy. The enemy's not your friend. Hasatan can't be your best bud during the week and then you're coming over here giving praise to Jehovah when Shabbat comes. That never works. Never works. "Show them no favor and do not intermarry with them. You do not give your daughters to his sons, and you do not take his daughters for your sons." Now we know Israel failed in this every time miserably. They failed in that. But there was a reason for that. They needed some time in the land. They needed to be free from all these extra things that would creep in. And they creep in. They creep in. I mean, you're going along and everything's fine. All of a sudden, one little lapse in your judgment. One little lapse in your judgment, it'll creep in. So he knew they needed some time. They didn't need to be involved in that. That's why he made a provision. He said, if a man's married, he don't go to war. If he just got married, he needs to stay home with his wife. That's why you think he puts that in there, because his constitution knows all this ahead of time. He knows. If he just got married, he stays home with his wife. I don't care how bad the battle is, you don't send him to war because he needs to be home with his wife. Because it only takes a little bit. And before you know it, that fresh relationship they have is just... it's squandered away because we didn't obey God. He don't just put things in there. Remember, God don't just talk to talk. Everything he says is matters and there's a reason for it. "For he turned your sons away from following me to serve other mighty ones. Then the displeasure of Jehovah shall burn against you and promptly destroy you. But this is what you do to them. Break down their slaughter places." Break down their slaughter places. The moment we started breaking down slaughter places, that's when everybody got a little antsy on me. Breaking down slaughter places is not for the squeamish. It's not for the faint-hearted. It's for those that rather they say, "God is God and everybody else is a liar. I'm going with God. You don't have to go with me. That's the way I'm going." Because it's not for the squeamish. It's not for they pansy pants, can't figure out if they want to fight or not. It's not for that. When you break down slaughter places, you're coming against stuff that people's loved all their life, and you're saying it's wrong because the Bible says it's wrong? That's not easy. It's not easy at all. It's nice when you got a whole entourage of other ministers that come support you and back you up and say the same thing. But that didn't happen. There was opportunity. But it never got taken. All I heard was the whispers in the back room. And I called it out. We cannot compromise God's word. He says, break down the slaughter places. What slaughter places represent? The way they worship. Break it down. There's no place in God's constitution. He has his own method of worship. He tells you when to do it. Matter of fact, he stated that as a matter of fact early on, and he gave Abraham praise for keeping his statutes, his laws, his commands, and his Torah before Mount Sinai. So what was that? Because he had handed it down verbally to Abraham way ahead of giving it to Moshe, because it's still the same constitution. Guess who else had it? Adam. He had it. His children had it. If Cain wouldn't have known what to do when he was given an opportunity to do it, then it wouldn't be fair, his result. But he was reminded of something that he already knew. He said, I tell you, if you want to change, you can. But if you don't, you go out, that sin lies at the door. It's going to take you. It's going to get you. Because he knew what to do, because it was handed down to him. No different than Abel knew what to do, so he brought a better sacrifice, because he knew what to do. So he says, break down their slaughter places and smash their pillars. The pillars were these standing poles that was made of something very strong and sturdy. That way, if they ever come under war, these poles or pillars would still be standing, and there'd be a resemblance of this nation that was there. They can dig it up, and archaeologists, they can find that these people were here. He said, tear those things down. Destroy them. Don't save them. We don't need their stuff to help our stuff. Get rid of it. Cut down their Asherim and burn their carved images with fire. Now, a lot of these carved images were overlaid with gold and silver. And it's very hard to take something overlaid with gold when you know the value of gold and you just get rid of it. So the appealing thing was they're under the ban. They're under the ban, you destroy completely. And so sometimes we look at the appeal of the silver and the gold and we forget the command. And when you forget the command, the gold and silver get you every time. For you are a set apart people to Yehovah your Elohim. How many see that phrase? You are a set apart people to Yehovah your Elohim. If you are a set apart people to Yehovah your Elohim, then that's that. Now we come in our generation, we come under the banner of Yeshua. Now, are we set apart under Yeshua? If we're set apart under Yeshua, when we come, then the Constitution doesn't change. It remains the same. We don't have to change anything. Under the renewed covenant, we don't have to change anything. That's what so amazes me about this. And I don't know, the fear that grips people. I mean, the fear just grips people. What are we going to do? We can't do that. If we did that, it upsets everything. And I mean, all those years, you mean all those years? That's what we think. You mean all those years didn't count? Thank God he kept us all those years. They do count. They do count. He kept us. By his grace and his mercy, he kept us. But when he opens your eyes to see and you still refuse to see, then you can't rely back on all those years because they don't count anymore. Because now he gives you eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to know him. You are set apart people to Yehovah Elohim. Yehovah Elohim has chosen you to be a people for himself, a treasured possession above all the people on the face of the earth. Do you believe that as under the renewed covenant, that you are a chosen people? If we don't, then we got to go get Peter and we got to tear up his documents. We got to tear Peter's documents up because he stated this. He said we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. We're set apart unto Yehovah. This is what Peter stated. Now, Peter believed this. He believed it. He stated it. And under the renewed writings, he stated it. Why did he state it? Because he was saying the same thing Yeshua was stating. It's the same thing. But if we don't believe that, and we're not a chosen people, we're not royal, we're not going to be priests unto Yehovah, The fact that we even say we're priests unto Yehovah, that's an automatic, you're set apart. Therefore, signifying what I just read to you, we still qualify under the same constitution. It doesn't change. Yehovah did not set his love on you, nor chose you because you were more numerous than any other people. For you were the least of all people. Now, that would have been something if he'd have just chosen the more numerous. But remember, he started out with one guy. One guy named Avram, whose father was a pagan idol maker. Under the leadership of Nimrod, you couldn't get worse than that. Yet God went to him and said, you can change if you want. He never wouldn't hear God. So then he went to his son, Avram, and said, Avram, you got to leave your father and your mother. Why leave your father? It's almost like, okay, God, honor father and mother, and you say leave father and mother. What's going on here? I tried to get them to hear me, but they won't hear me. So you have to, if you're going to love me, like Yeshua said, unless you're willing to leave your father, your mother, and your children and come and live for me and forsake all, you can't be my disciple. Did he not say that? Is this not similar terms that he's saying to Abraham? Leave your father and mother and your kindred and go to a place I'll show you. You know what Abraham did? He had to put it in a balance, just like we all do. He had to make a decision. Do I stay with my mom and dad? And you know, I can inherit all the stuff he's been doing. He's working for the leader here. Eventually, this will all come to me. Or I can just let that go, and I can go 3 days from nowhere. I'm going to show you the place, but you won't know it until you get there. So he's 3 days from nowhere. So he was giving up everything he knew he had, he could possess, that could be his, and he went for nothing. There was nothing. There was no appeal because there was just bright light that he saw. What he had was God's word. What he had was God's word, and he believed God over what he saw. He wasn't following because of stuff. He was leaving stuff, and he was following what God said, period. Are you willing to do that? Because when you follow what God says, then you're saying, I follow your constitution. Your Torah, I'm following it. Whatever you state. Who knows better how you can have a relationship with the Creator than the Creator himself? Who knows better than him? Yet through translation and over years of transliteration, we've come to many places that's only distanced us from God rather than putting us close to him, because we've left to the point that we say the Torah has been done away with. That's extreme. Do you know that's extreme talk? Yet it was almost common speech amongst believers in the last 10 years. It was almost a common thing. It's kind of what you, we're not under the legalism no more. We even gave it a title. We called it legalism. You mean God's constitution is a legalist list? Is that what we're going to tell him? Legalism was a defining term that came out of religions who created bylaws and instructions within their religious group stating you could and could not do this. Like women couldn't wear pants, they couldn't wear makeup, you couldn't wear jewelry, you had to wear sleeves, you couldn't wear shorts, guys had to cut their hair, and so forth and so on. And that's kind of, you've been in and around that, you saw that come, whether it happened through Pentecostals or Assembly of God, whatever it was, or United Pentecostals, it doesn't matter. And that term was coined being legalist. And then we take that same term and we use it toward God in his word. That's a dangerous place to be. When you think what God states is being legalist. Legalist is something that's created from somebody who's dictating. Whether it's a religious group, a president, whatever it is, a communist country, they have their legalist rules. Is that what we believe? God is communist? Do you believe he's a dictator? Or do you believe he loves and cares about us so much that he would send his only son to die for us, to give us an opportunity again to be reinstated into the covenant of the promise so we won't be all lost? That don't seem like a God that's dictating to me. But he's also a God who's extending his right hand to us in love, but he also extends it in judgment. And that's the thing that we never want to say about God. We just want to say God is love, and that's that. He's love. And we believe that the God, the Jesus God in the New Testament, he delivers that message better than anything because it's all about love. I guess people don't finish reading Yeshua in Revelation. The one who's going to come and rule with a rod of iron. The one who's going to open his mouth, and out of his mouth is going to be destruction like you've never seen ever happen in the world just by him opening his mouth. A ruling king who will actually demand we follow his father's rules. Demand it. But in America, the Constitution is so watered down and so amended, you can come from another country and don't even have to follow it. You can burn the flag. You can burn a United States flag and don't even go to jail. Now, some states are writing laws that you can't do that no more. Because we went through these during the COVID and all that crisis there when they're burning holes. They were burning towns down, cities down. There was no rules and regulations stating you couldn't do that. They were just doing whatever they wanted. There was no peaceful protest. What was peaceful about holding people at gunpoint and burning their shops down, mom and pop shops, and burning them down to the ground? What was peaceful about that? It was unconstitutional what was done, but it went on. It went on night after night after night and put fear in people. Fear. We don't serve a God. God said, I don't give you the spirit of fear. He gives us a bit of love and a sound mind. He wants us to have shalom in him. When you follow his constitution, there's no fear. None whatsoever. So if you're still under fear, I check what you're not following. It's not somebody else that brings fears on you. The fact that you're fearful is the fact that you're not being obedient. Because of that, that's where Kev comes in. He's going to cause these things to happen. But because of Yehovah loving you and because of him guarding the oath which he swore to your fathers, Yehovah has brought you out with a strong hand and has ransomed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, sovereign of Mitzrayim. And you shall know that Yehovah Elohim, he is Elohim, the trustworthy El, guarding covenants and loving commitment for 1,000 generations with those who love him and those who guard his commands. Who he's faithful to? Those who love him and guard his command. You're actually living up to the agreement that you went into. And so we get, you know, people get saved. We close your eyes, nobody looking around, lift your hand. I seen that hand. Now just let's pray. Father, I realize I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me, come into my heart. And then we clap and we say, welcome to the kingdom of God. Then they're on their own. Especially if they don't have a church to get in, and if that church is not teaching the Bible, teaching the things of God, the constitution of God, showing you how to be a disciple, then we are not really following what Yeshua said. He commissioned us. The commission was go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. All nations, make disciples. Not tell them he loves them, make disciples. Make disciples. How do you make disciples? You got to have a disciple. When you go to their house, guess what's posted on their gate? The Ten Commandments. Proudly. If you're in the United States of America and you're a citizen of the United States, guess what flag you're flying? You're not still flying the flag where you come from. But in the United States, we let you do that. If you're a citizen of the United States, you're flying that flag. You don't go and the Olympics and run for some other country. You run for the United States. Why? Because that's your country, and you're underneath that banner. Same thing with God. If you're underneath his banner, you don't have some other type of worship. And you say, well, I don't know what worship does God. You got to read your Bible if you don't know. You read your Bible. Well, what, you sure don't have worship to some Asherah pole. I didn't know that. Well, you got to read your Bible. You'll find out. He said, get rid of all that. That's under the ban. We don't want it. Now, understand that. Israel was not going in to make cities. They were taking cities. You're going to live in houses you didn't build. You're going to eat from vineyards you didn't plant. Do you understand? He's what he's telling them. That's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to do all this stuff for you, but you can't go in and water it down and compromise this lifestyle because once God starts, when you go in and the whole city takes it for you, you can get a little laxed in your behavior toward God and say, well, look what I've done. Look what we got. And the moment your chest goes out and you go, well, look what we did, you break down that relationship. And you're not realizing that God has some rules. And so does he need his rules? Can we compromise his rules? No, yes and no. He needs the rules and we cannot compromise the rules at all. You shall know that I'm Yehovah Elohim. He is Elohim, the trustworthy El, guarding covenants and loving commitment for 1,000 generations with those who love him and those who guard his commands. Notice what he does. He's guarding the covenant. So if he's guarding the covenant, how do you reciprocate him guarding the covenant? What do we have to do? We have to guard the covenant too. The covenant's got to matter to us. Well, who was that covenant made with? It was made with Abraham. Why did he make a covenant with Abraham? Because Adam broke the covenant. He failed to do what he was supposed to do. And then it took some time. And then God had to destroy the world by water through Noah. He made the Noahide laws and the covenant with Noah. But it still wasn't his guy. He's waiting. And then he finds Abraham. He says, I'll pick him. He didn't pick a great nation. He picked the least. The least expected. The smallest of the small. He picked them. Now, there was no Hebrews up to this point. None at all. But the moment Abraham left everything and crossed over, is where we get the term Ivri, is where we get the English word Hebrew. And so we have a group of people that's been designated to serve Jehovah. Now that's the thing that we get grafted into. And I think people don't really grab hold to that principle that Shaul talks about in Romans about being grafted in and being dedicated. I think we get grafted into whatever. Maybe we get grafted into the 33,000 religions in the world. Pick one, whatever one you think fits your fancy. We just pick one. Whether it's Baptist, Pentecostal, Presbyterian, Methodist, Lutheran, Catholic, whatever one you want to name, you picked one, and you picked one during your upbringing. Or maybe you didn't pick, it got picked for you because you just were born into it, whatever it was. Whatever the case, we all picked. We all made a choice. And then God looks at all of that and he goes, this is not good. So under his own care, under his own hand of mercy, rather than scratching away all of us, he said, I'm going to start waking people up who wants to be woke. I'm going to call some more Abrahams. Say, hey, you got to leave that. You got to leave that. If any one of you think that's an easy task, let me tell you, that's not easy at all. To be the guy, he says, you got to leave that. And then he opens your eyes to see all this stuff that's right in his word. No different word, same word. The only thing different is your passion to learn more about God. That's the only thing. Same word. And to look at it and see how he established this principle for us is something that we can't afford to lose. And it's being infringed upon every day. Every day. And it's not being infringed upon by, it's bad enough the government infringes upon it all the time, which the Constitution of the United States states that's not allowed. But it's being done all the time. You don't think it's being done? during the vaccine. Now, me stating this, if I publicly, this statement that I'm making, if it was publicly videotaped and put out on the internet, I can be charged by this statement I'm making. When vaccines came along, if you stated that I'm not going to take the vaccine based upon my religious right to say that there are certain things in the vaccine that according to the food laws of God's constitution, I'm not going to put in my body. If you state that as a fact, you could have been arrested for that. We know you could lose your job for it, because if you didn't do it, if you was a sports player, you're off the team. That's just fact. If you was a teacher, you lost your job. And so we put a letter together and sent it out and used that letter in a couple times. You know, people were kind of shocked. Okay, there's some people awake. Some people's alarmed. They noticed this. These are comments from the people who read the letter. And then I had a few pastors call me and say, hey, can we get that letter from you? I sent that letter to them so they can use it for their own people. Because you got to stand up on the word of God. And I said, listen, this letter is only as good as what you believe in. Now I put the scripture text in the letter and said, go up and look it up. Go look up these texts and see why we state what we state. And this is what we teach every service. We teach these principles. Well, we're going to say we teach them, but we don't really buy bomb. You're going to be hard pressed to actually convince somebody that you, if you just stayed in that because you don't want to take the shot. So we've seen this happen. It's not something that should shock us. We've seen this actually play out in real time. Nobody ever thought that would be possible, that all the churches all across the world were shut down. Nobody ever thought that possible. Think about that. But he says, but repaying those who hate him to their face to destroy them, he does not delay to do so with him who hates him. He repays him to his face. Now, I couldn't go into this week's Torah portion without getting to this verse. So sometimes I read a little slower because I got a lot to say about every verse. But I was trying to get here because let me tell you, God says, when you get in my face and think you're going to be all big and bad, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to get back in your face and you're going to know who I am. And that's what he's stating here. We're not talking about God handling this thing from a distance. We're talking about God, when you think you can elevate yourself up to some level with God and look dead in his face, he says, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get in your face. And you're not going to like it. That's that judgment part of God that nobody's counting on. He's just love. And we got to be more inclusive. We got to love people. Don't matter what the sin is. Don't matter how much sin it is. We just got to love. Well, he's going to tell us and state, as a matter of fact, that God says you got to quit sinning. And you shall guard the commands and the laws and the right rulings which I command you today to do them. Now getting in today's Torah portion, verse 12, and it shall be because you hear these right rulings. Because you hear these right rulings. How can you hear them if you're not attending? How could after the Jerusalem Council, by which most churches today believe after the Jerusalem Council, that's what we're going with, especially apostolic believers. They believe that. They believe after the Jerusalem Council. But when was the Jerusalem Council? If you ask, it's a general question to parishioners. When was the Jerusalem Council? What book and what chapter? Well, when I read about the Jerusalem Council, I got to go to the book of Acts, I look at the Acts of the Apostles, the Jerusalem Councils, and when they gathered all the apostles back to Jerusalem and they hashed out some things about the Gentiles coming to be believers and those believing Jews who was trying to invoke upon the new believers Judaism, which Yeshua stood against because of all the dogmas that had been added through the oral laws that was handed down generation after generation. He dealt with that constantly. And so in the Jerusalem Council, he says, well, first of all, James, who was the head of the Jerusalem Council, which is Yaakov, Ekev, so Ekev, we get the word, the root word Ekev is linked to Yaakov, and who was head of this Jerusalem Council, stated when they come into the faith, they immediately get away from idols, things strangled in blood. And then they should go to Shabbat services every week where Moshe is being read. That's stated as a fact. Go listen to the rest of the Constitution every week. That's how you're going to become a disciple. Oh, you won't know anything. You're going to sit home and make up stuff. That's the Jerusalem Council. Now, after that council, we don't have a council until 325. That council was headed up by the Roman church under Constantine. 300 bishops got together and they hashed out some things. And at the end of the council, they didn't really hash out much. They still couldn't figure out if God was one, two, or three. Never happened in 325 Jerusalem Council. Never happened. I mean, in the council of the 325 Council, it never happened. Till later on, much later on, they hashed that out. Because they couldn't figure it out. Once you leave the doctrines of God in his constitution, now you're trying to figure it out and you're trying to piece it together and you're whittling on a puzzle and you're trying to make the picture still look good where it don't look all crazy and you're force fitting these pieces of puzzle, but you're still trying to keep the basis of scripture together, but you're going to force reading this thing, and before you know it, by the time it's all said and done, we don't know what you got. We know you got a religious word, but your picture looks crazy. I mean, if you had a picture of horses, his eyes on his behind. And I'm convinced that's what people's done over the years. They put their eyes on the behind, and before you know it, it's all crazy looking. Can't do that. Why don't we just leave God put the picture together, and we got to quit whittling pieces of puzzle and fitting them where we want to fit them. I'm just trying to get through Ekev. Somebody asked me if I'm going to get through all the way to 11. If I get on a roll, I might get to 8. So how many see we have right there in 12, the word because is our Torah portion today, Ekev. Now he said, and it shall be because you hear these right rulings. If you don't hear the right rulings, do you still have Ekev? You don't have it. You have the opposing factor of that, the if and then. If you do this, then this happens. If you don't do it, then you get that resulting action. But you got to hear the right rulings. How do you hear the right rulings if you won't go back and look at it? You know the fear that people are so much fear, they won't even go back and look. Oh, I might see something I don't want to see. I might have to do something I don't want to do. I might have to tear down this altar. I'm going to have to tear down this Asherah pole. I'm going to have to get rid of the golden idols and the silver idols. I want the money. I want to be involved in this. It's popular. I want to be doing it. I don't want to go back and look at it. Well, there's no, you don't just peek in this thing. I remember sometime I told somebody, said, who I told that to? I said, every now and then you just, it ain't no peeking in. You're either in it or you're not. And when you're in it, you got to love truth. If not, it'll drive you crazy. But when you love truth, you can't help but want to go to it. You're drawn to it. It's like a magnet. It draws you. You can't help it. Every moment you get, you want to be doing something as pertaining to understanding these principles that he laid out. Because they're so beautiful. There's such a compassion and a love when you look at how carefully God orchestrated his instructions to make sure man can have relationship back with him. It's beautiful. And the only thing that God kept running up to was he couldn't do something with all these wonderful regulations. They couldn't even go in effect until somebody died. There had to be a death. And so he asked his only son, would you die for him? I'll die for him. You can send me, I'll die for him. But you can't just die. It ain't just a death. You got to first keep all the regulations that I gave. You got to die to death without sin. You got to show the example. You got to be the example. And he said, I can do that too. To do that, the first thing you have to understand, the first death Yeshua died to was himself. He refused to have his own mind. He had the mind of God. He refused to speak his own words. He spoke the words of God. That's all choice he had to choose. This wasn't a give me. He didn't get that given to him. That's why when people say, well, of course Yeshua could do what he did. He was God. Of course he could do this. He was God. So somehow he had an advantage. He had no advantage. He was the son of Adam, repeated over and over and over and over and over again. Now, he was exalted to a status that's far above all principalities, powers, and heights, dominion, everything that's named. He was exalted to a status, but he didn't have an advantage over us. He said, I was tempted in all points just like you were, yet I didn't sin. He didn't sin. Why? Because he refused to give himself over to his flesh. To the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. He refused it. I'm not going to do it. Often he was attacked. Often he was tempted by Satan himself. One-on-one temptation. The battle's on. The rage is on. There's a fight. Carmen used to do this song where they'd put the ring up. And we'd go in there. They'd be in he put it on a display. It was nice. I mean, the battle was raging. And they was in the ring. And they was duking out. And Satan give that final blow. And there he went. And all of a sudden, he's rises again. So what we have to understand is that Yeshua was up against it one-on-one with Hasatan, and he only quoted the Constitution. He didn't quote what he wanted to quote. He quoted from Devarim every single time. He quoted it, and he let them know, it is written, it is written, it is written. So is what's written important? It's valuable to us. We're not going to survive without it. We got to know it. And you can't just hold on to somebody else and think because they make it, you're going to make it. You got to know it. Be aware and be awake when you're at church. Be engaged in the service. Write down your own notes. Get something and pay attention real close so you can grab hold to these principles. Because let me tell you, they're going to make all the difference in the world when you're going to need it. And it shall be because you hear these right rulings and shall guard to do them, that Yehovah Elohim shall guard with you the covenant and the loving commitment which he swore to your fathers, and shall love you and bless you and increase you, and shall bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your grain and your new wine, and your all, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flock, in the land of which he swore to your fathers to give you. I mean, see that. Now, we want all those blessings. We want them. But the condition of those blessings is because, Ekev, you grabbed on just like Yaakov. Do you seek the blessings of Yehovah? If you seek his blessings, the thing that's equal to his blessings is the fact that you grab hold to his constitution, his Torah, and you hold on to it with all your... That's what Yaakov did. He sought the blessing of the firstborn status coming out the womb. So what did he do? He grabbed Esau's heel. Therefore, he was named Ekev. Because the last thing to come out of the womb is the heel. And when Esau was being born, Yaakov grabbed the heel. That's how he got his name. He was named after that, based on that. And because of that, we see the life of Yaakov throughout his life. It was constant. Giving himself over to Yehovah, constant. We see it in his children. We see it when he brought up Yosef, how he raised him. He only had him till he was just a young man, and he lost him. He lost him. For years he lost him. But what he had put in him was so strong. We saw Yosef just blossom and bloom to be a great man of God who, he lived in a company of pagans amidst all sorts of gods, but he never let his standard down. Many times he could have, and he had every excuse in the world. His family deserted him. His brothers threw him in a pit. They lied on him. He was put in prison, and then he just kept trusting God. And then one of the prisoners forgot him. He was forgotten in prison. But he let none of that get to him. He just kept his faith. And then God says, okay, now we're getting somewhere. Now I see that you're not just hanging on just to get along. I see that it's in you. I see that it's changed you. And I see that it's working in you. So now I'm going to give you promotion. I'm going to do all the stuff I promised. I'm giving all this to you. He said, because you do this, and you shall love it, and shall love you and bless you and increase you and bless the fruit of your womb, the fruit of your land, your grain and your new wine and your oil, the increase of your cattle and offspring, your flock, and the land which I swore to your fathers to give you. Blessed are you above all peoples. There is not going to be a barren man or barren woman among you or among your livestock. How many see this? This is what God's saying. He said, you do what I'm telling you to do. This is what's coming to you. Because you do what I tell you, this is what's coming. Because you follow this constitution that I've written, this is what's coming to you. And verse 15, and Jehovah turned away from you all sickness and put on you none of the evil diseases of Mizraim, which you have known, but he shall put them on all those who hate you. Let me see that. So you don't have to go around worrying about what we're going to do in the end. Am I going to have enough rice? Am I going to have enough? You don't have to worry about any of that. What are you worried about that for? Should we store up? What we should do is get a hold to the word of God. That's what we should do. More important, that's the manna you got to eat. That's the bread you got to put aside. Don't worry about the rest of the stuff. Why? Because Jehovah's going to take care of that for you. It makes no difference what's happening around you. 1,000 can fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come nigh you. Why? Because your secret place is in him. You've picked the citadel of Jehovah. What better place there is to be? There's no protection. There's no fortress better than being in him. And so he's stating this as a fact to them. This is what's going to happen for you. And you shall consume all peoples whom Jehovah Elohim has delivered over to you. Your eyes shall not pardon them, and do not serve their mighty ones, for that is a snare to you. He's stating this. Do not serve their mighty one. Why? That's a snare to you. It might look like it could be okay. You know, if you paint enough Christian veneer on something, it can look like it's God's feast or it's God's appointed time, but it's not. What does he say? Don't do it. It's a snare. It leads to other things. It leads to what's most popular. You come around Christmas, it's popular. I mean, it don't take long. The music comes on in Walmart and the stuff comes out, and then it goes from one to the other to the other. It don't stop. It just jumps. It jumps. It'll go from Thanksgiving to Christmas to New Year. Well, you got Valentine's Day in between, before Thanksgiving. You got Halloween, and the decorations comes out, and it's right there. You can't go down any aisle. I mean, they put designated aisles out. It's there, and it's all about the entertainment of flesh. It's all about, it's nice. It's just nice. It's just, it's wonderful. You can do kid things with it. It's just wonderful, and you get to do all these things because that was the battle everybody was having. What about all our family memories? Well, you know what? We ought to have been creating more memories, different memories. We ought to have been doing other things. We didn't know about them, so now we do know. And so we should do for him with our utmost. We should not hold back. And we surely shouldn't hold back financially. It's no comparison what we should do for Jehovah during his time that he selected. But he says, don't do it. Now, I'm not saying this. I'm telling you what he said. And even if you state it like that, well, You don't understand, brother. Well, yeah, I understand. I understand perfectly. I'm trying to get you to understand. I understand. He stated this, not me. Well, if some people choose to do that, they can. It's okay. We have no problem with that. No, you still don't understand. It's not people choosing. This is what God stated. This is for all his people, not some. This ain't about culture. This is not about where you grew up. This is about what God stated about people. Who knows people better than the one who created people? Nobody does. Nobody knows them better than him. He created them. And you shall consume all the peoples whom Yehovah Elohim is delivered over to you. Your eyes shall not pardon them, and do not serve their mighty ones, for that is a snare to you. He's stating as a fact, you will be trapped. You can't do it a little bit. It will get you every time. When you say in your heart, these nations are greater than I am unable to drive them out. Do not be afraid of them. Remember well what Yehovah Elohim did to Pharaoh and to all the Mitzrayim. What did he do to them? That army was coming against them. Not to mention, they were in their nation. They were there. They were in bondage. They were slaves there. But what did God do them? He made certain that the plagues represented one of their gods every time he did it, and he made them look silly. They couldn't control their god. The god of frogs was everywhere. They couldn't control their Nile River god because God turned into blood. They couldn't control it. They trying to do, can't control it. Everything that they tried to control, they couldn't do it. And they sure couldn't keep their firstborn alive. Now, they were all given the same command. If you want to keep your firstborn alive, this wasn't just given to the children of Israel. This was given to everybody there. If you want to keep your firstborn alive, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to now follow God's constitution on how you keep them alive. You take the lamb, you kill the lamb, and then you put the blood on the doorposts and on the lintels, and then you take that lamb and you go inside the house and you eat it in haste. Some said yes, we'll do it. Some Mitzrayim said yes, we'll do it. And they all left, a mixed multitude left, not just Israelites, a mixed multitude. Why? Because they listened and they obeyed and they got the results from being obedient. Now, it doesn't mean they was perfect. It just means they obeyed that command. There was a lot of things they didn't know and still had to learn, and they were going to learn along the way. And on their way going, as they got to the Sea of Reeds, there they are, trapped, can't get through the sea, mountains on both sides, here we are. And how do we get out of this? We can't get out. So what God does, he positions himself between them and the enemy. He just gets between them. He positions himself. And they looking at, well, we don't know what that fire is, but we ain't going in it. He positioned himself between the enemy and his people. And he just stood there, given time for his deliverance. And he said, now take this rod in your hand and stretch it forth and tell the people, stand still and see the salvation of Yehovah. Again, that's a link to the messianic deliverance that would come ultimately for all the world. That salvation's coming. And then when the enemy, then he takes himself out of their position, he goes over where his people's at, and now they say, well, now we're going to get them. And they go and they think, now we're going to, we can go and exercise ourselves in this miracle that's happening. Because they knew it was a miracle. They think one of the gods, look at one of the gods leaving it open for us. Till they got in the middle, and the miracle ran out. And he destroyed the enemy that pursued you up to today. After today, you will see them no more. God, he wants to fight for us. So we're taking on fights that we don't need, and we're not realizing that what we got to do is we just got to get ourselves together and quit trying to get everybody else together, get ourselves together and line ourselves up and let God do those battles that are being fought out there. And all we got to do is live it day in and day out. Be consistent with it. When you say in your heart, these nations are greater than I am unable to drive them out, do not be afraid of them. Remember well what Yehovah Elohim did to Pharaoh and to all the Mitzrayim. The great trials which your eyes saw and the signs and the wonders and strong hand and the outstretched arm by which Yehovah Elohim brought you out of the brought you out, Yehovah Elohim does so to all the people of whom you are afraid. And Yehovah Elohim also sends the hornets. He sends the hornets among them until those who are left who hide themselves from you are destroyed. That word hornets, if you look at that word, it's linked to Zarat. It's linked to Zarat. Now he says the hornets, why? Because the hornet, if the hornet stings you, what happens to your skin immediately? It swells. It looks like you got a skin disease. It swells. And a hornet, if a hornet stings you, right where the sting is, it'll leak a substance, a clear substance. And that's automatic Zarat. That's why it's linked to that. So he says, I want to tell you, and Yehovah Elohim also sends the hornets among them until those who are left who hide themselves from you are destroyed. You can't hide, you can't lay in wait against God's people because God will send the hornets. And so we see in Revelations a similarity to this. In Revelation, he talks about the locusts who come and torment the people for 5 months. They won't eat nothing green. Now we know the locusts is something that can be eaten. It's a clean animal. It's a clean food. It's a food, rather. And they're not to eat anything green, but that they harm man for 5 months. Think about that. And so God stating again that I'm going to take care of these things. So a lot of times we spend a lot of times wondering what we got to do. When is the end? It don't matter. What matters is that we keep his appointed times, we keep Shabbat, and we keep doing what we do, keep learning. Does it matter when it's going to happen? It doesn't matter, because if you're keeping his appointed times, you're going to be right where you need to be at the right time, and you're going to be protected by Yehovah. He's going to keep you. He's stating that as a fact. We see this all throughout the scripture. We're not to worry about if we bought enough beans. That's not our worry. We're to keep his appointed times and do what he's asked us to do. Do not be afraid of them, for Yehovah Elohim, the great and awesome El, is in your midst. And Yehovah Elohim shall drive out those nations before you, little by little. You are not allowed to destroy them at once. Notice that. So sometimes it takes time, and you wonder, and we get all beside ourselves. When, God, when are you going to do it? I'm so tired of them. I wish you would take them out tonight. Not at once. Little by little. Why? Because he's trying to teach us to be patient and let him do what he does. And you keep serving him. Quit trying to insert yourself into putting your hand around somebody and choking them out. It's not your position. And we are always, as humans, we want to insert ourselves because we think we know the timing is best. We know how to do it. God, I'll just give me the green light. Should we call down fire and kill them all? What did Yeshua tell them? You don't even know what spirit you're acting like. If you're not listening to the Torah I've been teaching you all this time, you don't do those things. Let God do what God does, and let's do what he told us to do. Listen, if God is our creator and he's our king, why don't we let him be that and let's quit trying to be king? Let's not do that. Let's be subjects to God. Let's be disciples. In order to be that, we got to learn our part, and our part is taught to us. We don't know our part. We're not born knowing our part. What we're born with is an evil inclination. We were born into the fight that we didn't pick. But we have set apart spirit given to us to give us more power than the evil inclination has. That's a fact. Set apart spirit is given to you so you have more power than the evil inclination has or ever did have. Now, the moment you reject set-apart spirit and you adhere to the evil inclination, you're going to give your evil inclination more power. And it's going to look like God can't win this fight. The issue is not God winning it. The issue is you can't win it because you won't exercise the right that he gave you. It'd be like in our Constitution, we have the right to bear arms as a militia to protect ourselves, not against the neighbor, but against a government who all of a sudden turns on the people. And so you know you have that, and you say, yeah, I think we should give our guns up. Then you're going to get the results you're going to get from that attitude. You've been given a constitutional right to have it, but yeah, we probably shouldn't have it. Nobody needs to hunt anymore. We don't need to do that. We don't need to protect ourselves. Let's give them up. You have a constitutional right to keep it, but you want to give it up? This is the same thing. We have a constitutional right to be stronger, have more energy, more strength than the evil inclination, but we give it up every time. We're giving up what we constitutionally can have. And so and you shall be endued with power from on high. And we have to get that, and we have to live in that every single day of our life. We have to have set-apart spirit empowering us to get the job done. And you can't be empowered to study. You can't be empowered to learn if you don't allow the set-apart spirit to do the job that it's been sent to do for you. Without set-apart spirit, you're going to be low energy. Very low energy when it comes to studying. Very low energy when it comes to prayer. Very low. Your comprehension level is going to be very low. It's going to be sparse at best. Because you won't be able to retain the information. You only do this by the set-apart spirit because he empowers you to do it. Other than that, we're so distracted by stuff. Our minds are so full of the junk out there, we have no room to put anything of God in. But when set-apart spirit comes, he cleans your mind out. I'm telling you, the mind of Christ gets in you. And we know what Christ was after. He was after one thing. That was to learn about his relationship to his Father, maintain that relationship until he died, and then he rose again because he did maintain that relationship. He who knew no sin became sin. He voluntarily did that for us. He didn't get crucified because he did something wrong. He did that voluntarily. He became sin for us, so we can have an opportunity. And we shouldn't take anything lightly that he's done for us. And Yehovah Elohim shall drive out those nations before you little by little. You are not allowed to destroy them at once, lest the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. He don't want you to look like you're dominating. He wants you to do it little by little. But sometimes we're so impatient, we can't let the things of God actually take root in our life. We get impatient. And we make moves that are unnecessary and get ourselves out of position. But Yehovah Elohim shall deliver them over to you and destroy them with a great destruction until they are consumed. And he shall give their sovereigns into your hand, and you shall destroy their name from under the heavens. No one is going to be able to stand against you until you have destroyed them. The carved images of their mighty ones you are to burn with fire. How many see he keeps repeating this? Get rid of their stuff. Burn them with fire. Do not covet the silver or the gold that is on them, nor take it for yourself, lest you be snared by it, for it is an abomination to Yehovah Elohim. Why? Because it was covering an image. But it's gold. So what? You don't think God's got more gold? The appealing thing is we think we're going to lose something. I can't take a stand at my job. Why? You don't think God's got another one that he can put you in? So you're willing to lick the gold off of a carved image that states that you can't do this, this, and this when it comes to serving your God? You got to bow down to these other mighty ones? Is that what our stand's going to be? And do not bring an abomination to your house, lest you be accused, accursed like it, utterly loathe it, and utterly hate it, for it is accursed. All right, we'll stop. We'll start at 8 in the morning. So listen, when I remember when I first started pastoring, I didn't know none of this stuff. But I did know the Bible somewhat. I knew what I knew. I knew what was revealed to me. That's it. There was things I knew wasn't revealed, but my heart was, Lord, if you'll show me out, whatever you want me to do. But one thing I knew was that you had to have a standard. You had to have some type of standard in your life. And so when I first realized that, okay, I'm going to have some responsibilities being a pastor here. I'm going to have some kind of work that I can be off when I want to be off, go when I want to go. I can't be tied down to a structure. So I started praying about it. I said, God, you got to make a way. I don't know how we're going to do this, but, you know, I also don't want to be so poor that we can't get along, we can't make it. And I was already there, so I could only go up from where we were. So I was asking the Lord, open some doors. Well, the doors started coming open like crazy. I mean, fine open. Big moves, like stuff I ain't ever heard of before. Well, this one in particular was to work for McDermott. It was through McDermott, but it was for, what's that ocean thing that one of your friends was working for? What's that called? Ocean Engineering?
Yeah.
It was through McDermott, but working for that big houseboat that Ike was on. So they said, meet us at Venice Marina. You're going to get that job. You're getting that job. They had that houseboat out at Britain Island at the time. And they said, we looking for somebody, and we need somebody right now. So here I am. I'm in my 20s. I'm 20 or 21. And I'm like, this is it, babe. You come with me. So we both went down to the meeting, and we sitting there, and a couple business guys are there, and they all got, you know, cell phones and, and here we are sitting there, and they start throwing numbers out. This is what we'll pay you. We'll pay you this, this, and this. But this is what you got to do. Well, the more they talked, the more it was infringing upon what I was already obligated to. But boy, did we need the money. And we needed it in a bad way. So I had to sit there and say, in my mind, I was saying, well, maybe I could do it. This is my thoughts. Maybe I could just do it for a little while. And God would say, no, no, you can't do it for a little while. So the guy said, what you think? Give you a company truck, cell phone, everything. What you think? I said, well, I can't do it. I'm sorry that we took your time up. I was under the impression that I can have these days off because I got church. He said, we can't help you with church. And I knew he couldn't help me with church, but I can help myself. And so I said, well, I'm not going to take it. And that's when they hired Ike. Within the week, they hired Ike the same week. And so Unc can tell you that would have been a fantastic job to have because those people have money, and they were givers. They'd set you up. I mean, it would have been done. I wouldn't have been in the guide business. I'd have been just working for them. I went from nothing to the top of the game within a week, a month. I wouldn't have had to worry about booking trips because I just fished for them. I just took care of that stuff. I put their live bait in their tanks. I took care of the houseboat, all that stuff. But I said, no. So I went home and I said, it ain't going to work for us. So we left and I apologized to him. I said, look, I'm not going to do it. The guy said, man, I can't believe you wouldn't do that. It's a great deal. I said, I understand that. It is. But for me, it's not going to work. So then I went home. We prayed about it, and said, well, God, something's got to happen. And I can't make it happen because I don't know nobody. And so then I got a phone call from Dr. Donaldson. He called me. He said, are you Jesse? I said, yep. He said, well, I'm Don Donaldson. He said, I got a condo being built at the marina right now. It's not finished, but can you come down here? We're going to talk to you. We're just building it. It's going to be me and Jimmy Kossmeyer. But I don't know these guys at all. First time I ever heard them, talk to them. So I went down there and we went up, and it was an unfinished condo. There it is. But they're there and we're talking. And he starts stating what they like and everything. And I said, look, I just went through this last week. Let me just tell you up front. This is who I am and this is what I'm standing for. And if it won't fit for y'all, I appreciate your time, but I'm going to the house. I don't want to spend no more time talking about it. This is what's going to happen. Oh, and he goes, you know how Doc is. Man, I really like that these days. I said, I understand you can like them all you want, but I'm not going to be the guy doing it. Oh. But we need somebody. I said, I understand that. But unless I can do my own schedule and be off when I want to, and I call you last minute, I'm off, then I can't do it. He said, well, let's do it. But we're going to have to do it on an hourly basis since we're going to give you a salary. I said, that's fine. You don't have to give me no salary. I'll do about an hour. And so I started working for them immediately. So within a week, God was able to put me in a position where I didn't have to compromise what he asked me to do. So it can happen. And I've been there and done that. It happens if we allow God to do what he wants to. But if we compromise the least little bit, it's over with. It's not going to work. It never works. You can't take what's in the band. And why did he put it in the band? Because he said, this is my rules and regulations. This is the band. I don't want none of that stuff. You don't have to get it for me. You don't need it. I don't need it. This is what I want right here. Because he wants to supply our needs. He wants to take care of us. He wants to be that Heavenly Father who tends to his people and takes care of everything we need. And we got to allow him to do that. So what an amazing God we serve. He's good to us. So we'll be here in the morning again. You come expecting, believing God for great things. Does anybody have